Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We are earthy people. Therefore, we are connected to this earth and will always be connected to this earth. We think it's foreign. Home and all the comforts, home with all the innovations of an infinitely created God. You know, we assume that heaven is leaving favorite things behind, right? Not true. It's retaining the good, finding the best ahead. We think it's boring. No, it's not. It is fascinating, the Bible tells us.
The truth is, heaven has views beyond anything you've ever seen. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, What Will Heaven Look Like?, and gives you a sneak peek at the beauty waiting for you in your true home. Stay with us. Dr. Ed Young is coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So, we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So, visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, What Will Heaven Look Like?
Revelation. I was in seminary. I took a class on Revelation for an entire year. The first day of class, our professor, Dr. McDowell, said, if anyone puts an S on Revelation, you're going to flunk the course. It's Revelation, the last book of the Bible. The Apostle John, the last apostle among the 12 to be alive, an elderly man in a cave on the island of Patmos, praying, seeking God, and in that amazing moment, the Lord opened up the heavens for John and gave him a view of paradise that no one had experienced before or since. And you read the book of Revelation, it says, I saw, I heard, I saw, I heard. And John was trying to write it all down, and he was trying to describe that which was indescribable. The glory, the majesty, the beauty, the magnificence of heaven. It's interesting, as you study the book of Revelation, there is a rhythm there. I call it the rhythm of Revelation. Chapter 1, you have a view from heaven. Chapter 2 and 3, you have a view of earth. Chapter 3 and 4, you go back to heaven. Chapter 5 and 6, you come down to the earth. And there's heaven, earth, heaven, earth, heaven, earth, all the way through the book of Revelation, not necessarily marked by the chapters themselves. What's that all about? Hear from heaven, hear from earth, hear from heaven, hear from earth. I thought about it a long time. I think it's an answer to the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here at the climax of the Bible, we see heaven and earth, and we see how the Lord's Prayer is beginning to come together in paradise. What a book is the book of Revelation. It opens for us heaven. By the way, for a long time, maybe you were like me, that I thought, you know, we don't know a great deal about heaven. You know, I wish God would tell us more about heaven. But when you open your Bible and look at your concordance and begin to study words that are used for heaven and paradise and eternity, you realize the book from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you could make a case it's all about heaven in one sense. Over 500 times in some translation, the word heaven is mentioned. So we read and understand when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are usually synonymous in the understanding of the Bible. You see, heaven is opened up in a way that most of us have never understood or have never realized. We've already looked at heaven. In our first study, we decided that heaven is real. It's a real place. And we looked at John 14 and other connected passages. I go to prepare a place for you. It's not some floating, disembodied spirit up there. It's not some out there, up there kind of mystical, cloud-like existence. Heaven is a real place. Also, we discovered we will have resurrected bodies. And the body we know is much like, we think, the prototype we see in the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. So there'll be a supernatural world, and we'll live in that world in our supernatural body. And trying to put this together, I went and did great, deep, philosophical study and came up with Shazam. And that was the comic strip Captain Marvel of another generation. When a kid would say Shazam, he'd become a super figure. And that is sort of the best we can understand it in simplistic ways, in that we will live in heaven in a supernatural world with a supernatural body, much like the prototype, the first fruits we see in the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And then we come down to a very practical question. What kind of body will this be? 1 Corinthians 15. What kind of place will this be? We look at John 14 and other passages. And then I just thought we'd ask a very pedestrian question. Let's just go down and visit a little bit and ask the question, look, what's heaven going to be like? By the way, this is not some preachment. This is not some opinion. This is not some concept that some guru put together. This is not Hinduism. This is not Buddhism. This is realism. We come to the fact that what we're talking about is real, it's tangible, it's material, because the Christian life is very materialistic. And we talked about it. It's not that the soul, the spirit dies. No, the spirit lives, the soul lives, the body dies, and we float off up in some kind of gas-like quality. And no, spirit, soul, body always go together in Christianity. And so we come to understanding of heaven and say, well, what's heaven like? Some have the idea that God's experiment didn't work. Man fell into sin. There was a curse placed upon mankind and a curse placed upon his creation. And Adam and Eve were punted out of the Garden of Eden. And so man's experiment failed, and therefore he's through with man and through with this earth. That's not true. Because we know in our scripture there will be a new heaven and a new earth. and that new heaven we'll live in, I believe in all probability, is the third heaven in which Paul was taken up into in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is that third heaven. Adam and Eve lived in three heavens. There was the first heaven, then there was the fall of man. There's the second heaven that we experience now in this life. Then there is the third heaven, and that is a heaven I believe we'll graduate to, according to 2 Peter 3, when we leave this earth. So we're talking about heaven. Heaven. Presence with God. And it is a new thing. Here's the question. We get to heaven, will it be familiar to us? Or will it be strange and unfamiliar to us? We like the word new. We like new things. We like new shoes when we get them broken in. We like new clothes. We like new cars. We like new houses. We like new friends. We like new relationships. We like new trips. We like new foods. We're into new, make things new. And here we see that in heaven, all things will be new, but yet they'll be familiar. And G.K. Chesterton talking about being homesick while you're still at home. There's a parable about a sea lion that lived in a desert. And a whole family of sea lions lived in desert, the desert, generation after generation after generation, until finally they had just little memory of the sea. They didn't know how they got in the desert. They'd been there for generations. And then they looked around and must have said, you know, I've got some equipment here that isn't really useful in the desert. But you ask the sea lion, where is your home? It's the desert. But you take those sea lions and put them in the ocean, whoo, boy, they'd say, you know, I thought I was home there, but man, I'm really equipped for living in the ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it is in heaven. We think, boy, I'm at home here on this earth. I'd sure like to live forever on this earth. Once we get to heaven, we're like the sea lion who thought desert was their home when really their home was in the depths and the coolness and the beauty of the ocean. That's the way it's going to be. That's exactly how it's going to be. I read a theologian. He did a beautiful thing, and I'm going to share it with you. He said, this is what we sort of think heaven is, and this is what the Bible says about heaven. Look on your screen. What we assume about heaven, it's a non-earth. What the Bible says about heaven, it's a new earth. We assume that's unfamiliar and otherworldly. The truth is, heaven is familiar and earthy. By the way, we were created out of what? Dirt. We are earthy people. Therefore, we are connected to this earth and will always be connected to this earth. We think it's foreign. Home and all the comforts, home with all the innovations of an infinitely created God. You know, we assume that heaven is leaving favorite things behind, right? Not true. It's retaining the good, finding the best ahead. We have the idea there's no time and space in heaven. We're going to see there's time in heaven, but that's in a little while. We understand there's time and space. We think heaven is static. It is dynamic. All right, look at what we assume about heaven. Neither the old is like Eden or the new and earthy. Just what? Strange and unknown. What's the truth? It's both old and new. We'll see there's nothing to do in heaven. What's that old song? I just roll around heaven all. Oh, no, no, no. We think we float on clouds. No, look what it is. A God to worship and serve, a universe to rule, purposeful work to accomplish, friends to enjoy. We think there's no learning or discovery. We think we die, we have instant complete knowledge. No, you won't. The Bible says we'll have an eternity of learning and discovery. We think it's boring. No, it's not. It is fascinating, the Bible tells us. We think there's a loss of desire. No, it's continuous fulfillment of desire. We think it's the absence of the terrible, but the presence of little we desire. The truth is, it's the presence of the wonderful everything we desire and nothing we don't. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize all this very simply. Nobody here is going to live long enough to fulfill all your desires, your dreams, your capacities, your hopes. You're not going to be able to see everything, go everywhere, understand everything, pursue everything, celebrate everything, enjoy everything. That's not going to happen in this life. But in heaven, all of that is going to be fulfilled over and over again out into infinity. Understand that. Eye has not seen, right? Ear has not heard. It has entered the heart of a human being what God has prepared for those who love him and those who graduate to be with him in heaven. Heaven. So we're sea lions out in the desert on this earth. But in heaven, I'm telling you, we will soar in a way we can't even imagine. Now look what the Bible tells us clearly about the new heaven and the new earth. Open your Bibles with me, if you would. By the way, I'm going to use the screen a little less for scripture. I want to start bringing our Bibles with them. We'll have some of the scriptures out there, about all of them. By the way, I said that last night in a service I preached, and a lady came up afterwards, beautiful, very fine, and she said, "May I speak with you?" I said, "Certainly." We stepped aside. And she said, "Put the scripture on the screen." I said, "Well, I'm not going to stop all of it. I just want us to get used to, you know, open our Bibles a little bit more." And she said, "Let me tell you my story." She said, "I came to this church 14 years ago, and I was illiterate." She said, "I could not read, and I could not write. But," she said, "I came to this church long enough, I began to read those screens." And she said, "I learned how to read from reading those big screens." And she said, "Now I read all the time." And she said, "After I've been coming here for about 2.5 years, I read enough and understood enough that I came to faith in Jesus Christ." She said, "So put the scripture on the screen." I said, "Well, I'm going to put some of it, but I'm not going to spoil you, because I think we need to learn how to handle the sword a little bit better." So let me make that very, very clear. Look what he says. Verse number 2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." And here we have a new creation. In that new creation, we have a new capital. We're talking about heaven. A new capital. And it is a new city, and I love that phrase. It's like a bride coming down the aisle, adorned for her husband. Let me tell you, there's nothing more beautiful, more radiant than a bride. I told someone, I'd never seen a bride that wasn't beautiful. And a couple of them barely made it. But, I mean, there's something radiant about a bride coming down the aisle. And this is what you see. You have the bride coming down the aisle. It is the new Jerusalem. It is the new city. What is a city? What is a city? Well, it's buildings. No, it's not. It's people. We could have hurricane wipeout come here and just flatten everything around here. We'd still have Katy, Texas. I want you to know that. Because it's made up of people. It's not building and stuff and roads and schools. No. It's people. And so what you have the new Jerusalem coming as a bride. And who is the bride of Christ? It's those of us who are in Christ. It's those who are in Christ. And we see that clearly in our study. Right before, in the chapter before this chapter, you have a picture of the great white throne judgment. And we have there, it says all the books are there. And one book is there, it has everybody's biography in it. Birth, life, death, signed, sealed, delivered. This is me, this is you, this is everybody is there. And he said, by that large book, there's another book there called the Book of Life. And in this book, that's where the Lamb Jesus Christ has written the names down. And that in that book are the names of those who will be in heaven. And so we want to make sure our name is in that Book of Life. And that is our entree, that is our ticket, that is our passage into heaven. So we see here we have the new capital coming down out of heaven, a new Jerusalem. And then also in the next passage, not only have a new capital, but we have a whole new country. And that is verse 2 through verse 4. It says what this country is like, no tears, no sorrow, no shame. That's a whole new world. That's a new country, isn't it? Then you have a new constitution. That's coming to verse 5 all the way through verse 8. It tells us how heaven will operate. Want to see how heaven operates? Look at Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And how heaven operates? Who will ascend into this holy place? That's heaven. Got to have clean hands and a pure heart. I'm not going to make it, are you? You've got clean hands, pure heart. It is Christ who cleans our hands. It is Jesus Christ who purifies our hearts and our motives. That's how we have the entree to heaven. So here he is telling us in heaven, we have a new capital. Now we know in this particular period of time, the religious capital was Jerusalem. The political capital was Rome. And we look, the economic capital was Babylon. But now we have a new capital, a new spiritual capital, and this is what he's talking about. And you have a new country. This is something he tells us about. And then you have a new constitution as to how you live in this country. And then he elaborates on that new Jerusalem. Look at it. It begins down in verse 10. And he carried me away by the Spirit to a great high mountain. And then verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and it goes on, describes the new Jerusalem. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how I could go through all the dimensions of the new Jerusalem without boring half of us to death and without amazing the other half.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand, said Jesus in John 10, 27 through 28. Can you think of a better place to be than in the hand of God? The hand of God holds us, carries us, leads us. The hand of God provides stability and security in a world of uncertainty and danger. In a storm, you may feel helpless, but if you know that your life is in God's hand, you can have confidence that He's got you. Nothing happens to a child of God that is too difficult for the Lord. You can trust that no matter what, He has you right in the palm of His loving and capable hand that will never let go.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who He is, what He did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, He spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Come back next week as Dr. Young reveals the single most beautiful thing you'll see in heaven. That's coming up Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.